B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Cuz Ready with the Chewness. Hanging out. Thursday. I'm so mad. How could you play this way? If we could figure this out, how come he can't figure it out? I mean, you listen to calls the first hour of the show. These guys know what they're talking about.
It goes back to what
I listen, people, you know, and listen, I get it. Not everything on Twitter is brilliant. I read the comments. They know what they're talking about.
Yep. And it goes back to what
all
we said yesterday.
All those tweets coming in about how they should play. These guys know what they're talking about. I don't know how Brett misses it. How do you not? Again, the fundamental question that we ask. And you know what's funny? And I love Jimmy. You know I love Jimmy Lyon to death. That's my main, right? But even Jimmy, when we were arguing, you remember that he was down with the moving Simmons off the ball. And I told him, and now listen, to his credit, when I brought up Thibault in the starting lineup, he was with that. The only thing that we really disagreed on was I said, listen, it's tougher for an offensive young player to make the impact than a guy who focuses on defense. And you remember he disagreed with that. Well, you know, they can make mistakes defensively too. Yeah, but again, the mistakes that a young offensive player makes kill your entire offense. Right or wrong?
Yes. No, you're 100% right.
What are you looking at? It's so obvious how you have to play. And it's so obvious that the Korkmazes of the world and the Nettos and the Shakes can't play significant minutes in playoff basketball when there's men playing.
And like you said multiple times.
What's Shake Milton going to do against these dudes?
Yeah, he can't D up. And
we were
texting about it yesterday. Shake Milton hits that three at the end of the first quarter to help me out and cover. But remember the play before, he gets completely beat. It was just one-on-one, the isolation, the guy goes right by him, Shake fouls him, and one. And it was just like, it was weak defense. Totally weak defense. And it doesn't fit with what you're trying to do, or what you should try and do.
Everybody, I love the dunkers, but you get the hell out of here. The kid needs the ball. If you're not going to get the ball, then trade him. I mean, seriously. Because Simmons at the four is a waste. He's a waste at the four. Waste. Ugh. Horrible. Absolutely horrible. Give me the Flyers. Shake song.
This is the only shake you're feeling?
Yeah.
Cats.
How about Toots breaking my balls?
Go Cats.
Why?
He loves the Capitals.
Oh, okay.
He's a Caps fan. He likes the Flyers, you know, but he's one of these, I got a soft spot for the Caps.
Just go back to your NHL 94 days?
Yeah, it goes back to Rod Langway. Yes.
That's awesome. But anyway, all this goes back to our conversation yesterday where we were saying, how come we can see things? And it's just like these teams don't. Like, we can see that the Sixers aren't playing to what their roster is constructed. We can see that the Phillies bullpen, we knew the Phillies bullpen sucked when they made their 40-man roster for a normal season, right? Yeah. Like, if the season started in March like it was supposed to, we knew that the bullpen sucked.
Yet,
here we go. We're going to go with this again. We're not going to bring the guys that they brought in, all the guys that they brought in. Uh-huh. Either released, or they kept the guys that have career ERAs over five.
Yeah.
And it's like, what are we doing here?
I know.
Well, because Trevor Kelly has a weird arm motion. I know he got out of the inning yesterday, but his ERA is plus six.
I know. Come on, dude.
Like, Reggie McClain throws 80 miles per hour.
I know. It's mind-boggling to me.
Now, there are a couple guys in the bullpen where I go, all right, at least I feel somewhat comfortable with them, and it's Alvarez, it's sometimes Neris. I mean, Neris is flip of the coin sometimes. And then, you know, Adam Morgan, when healthy, is okay. And he came in and got out of the inning.
Funny, Adam Morgan is Rivera compared to anybody else.
Well, that's the thing. So he comes in with the bases loaded yesterday after Tommy Hunter can't get an out, and he doesn't allow a run after that. He gets out of the inning, strikes out Garner, then turns forces a double play. And it was like, wow, great job, Adam Morgan.
Yeah.
But like you said, it's like, yeah, he's Mariano Rivera compared to the rest of the guys.
Joe, South Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Joe!
Good morning, guys.
What's up, Joey?
How you doing, buddy? All right, buddy. How you doing?
Good.
I just wanted to talk about the Phillies with the managers and all.
Yes.
Because, what they say is, if you listen to all these shows, we don't do analytics, we don't like it, we don't use it. These guys can't play without it.
I know.
They don't know the regular game anymore. The game's not there.
Yeah.
So when Joe does what he does, he's doing it through analytics because he knows he can't get through to these guys.
Well, I don't know. Do me a favor, Joe. Take your turn your radio down.
Okay.
I don't think it's the players. Like Bryce Harper told you all you need to know about how he feels about analytics.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know why you would take Nola out in that spot.
Well, because he must have read something on a computer.
Yeah.
It might have said, you got to take him out now because his arm hurts.
But forget about. I love your line. He read something on a computer.
Yeah.
That's great. That's such a great line.
I mean, that's all they know. They don't know anything else.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, come on. Joe looks down at that bullpen and says,
oh, yeah.
Really? Who am I going to go to?
Yeah. Well, he has no choice. He really has no choice.
Right.
He has nothing that he could do. We're blaming Girardi, but I think all the managers practically do the same thing.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's just a shame to watch the game that they can't play it no more the way we remember it.
I know.
You know, that's the thing.
I know. Listen, I agree with you. But here's the problem. They are so fundamentally screwed.
Oh, man.
If Rhys Hoskins is this. If Rhys Hoskins is going to take a cookie because he wants to walk,
right.
They got no shot going anywhere. Forget about, you know, short season, seven-inning doubleheaders, all this other nonsense.
Exactly.
They can't go anywhere.
Well, you hear the announcers. You hear the way they call the game. Oh, you got another walk, isn't that?
No, well, they got to be...
Yeah.
Not Pollyanna, but they have to look at it more positive.
They got to look at it more ways than that. Yeah.
No, I'm with you, brother. I am, Joe. It drives you nuts.
It drives you crazy. I mean, because you're older and you don't understand what's going on with the game, I don't know. I guess
no, it's not about old. It's not about that. It's about, you know better. You know better. That's it. Girardi made a mistake.
Real bad. Yeah, real bad. And he's an old school guy. I mean, he's not a dope. I mean, he's no idiot.
Nope.
But it's like, Let me look and get this guy out of here. His arm hurts. I mean, come on, man.
I hear you, pal. I hear you. You're hanging. At least it's back. All right? That's it. At least we got games to watch.
Yeah. Even though they're awful, we watch them.
I know, brother. Thanks, buddy. Be safe, all right?
Watch yourself.
Take it easy. I don't know. Again, you're in a doubleheader. And you got Nola, and he's dealing. Just finish the game.
And it's a 7-inning game.
Well, yeah, that's my point.
Just go one more inning.
Just finish the game.
And you know what? If you lose in extras, you lose in extras, and that sucks because your bullpen's terrible.
Right.
But at least you had a starting pitcher who they term the ace, right? Aaron Nola's the number one, and you're pulling him after 88 pitches.
Yeah.
If he's the ace, let's go. And again, I want to give Girardi the benefit of the doubt. I'm sure there's some sort of team doctor that's telling them, hey, because we had this weird off season and then spring training came to a halt, and then we had an 8-game halt after the series of the Marlins. I'm sure they told him something that he can't go over a certain amount of pitches.
Yeah.
Opening day, remember, Aaron Nola was only scheduled to throw 80 pitches. They took him out after, I think, 79.
Yeah.
So maybe it was the same rule after that 8-game layoff, but come on. We keep on talking about it. It's a sprint. It's a 60-game season. You're now 2-4. You could have been 3-3 sweeping the Yankees in a doubleheader. And you pull your starting pitcher, your ace, and you bring in a guy named Tommy Hunter whose career ERA is over 4. I think it's over 5 in a Phillies uniform. What are we doing here? And it doesn't help that they scored one run.
Right.
Because Andrew Knapp was in the starting lineup.
Right.
Because JT Realmuto, you know, God forbid,
right,
catches 14 innings.
Correct, my friend. What did you think of the 7 innings? Did you like it?
It was confusing because when they got to like the 6th inning, I was like, oh my, wait a minute. This the next inning's the last inning. For the Phillies' sake, I loved it in game 1 because if they had to keep on going with the bullpen. Austin Davis, who is this Austin Davis? He's another guy. He gets four runs yesterday.
Yeah, I know.
They're lucky it was a 7-inning game.
Yeah.
Because if it wasn't,
yeah,
you know, they're all of a sudden, it's 11-7 after 7.
Yep.
And the Yankees probably come back and win in that first game.
Yep.
A baseball man, I didn't like it. No.
Well, that's my question.
No.
Because I didn't either.
It was weird. It threw off the entire flow of what a normal game would be. If it's a 9-inning game, Nola probably goes an extra inning.
And that's where it made no sense to us, right?
Yeah.
That's where you went, what? Yeah, it makes no sense. Joe, you're in Deptford. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, Joe.
Hey, Ann, how you doing?
How you been, buddy?
Good, man. I'd be better if the Sixers would give me stop giving me so much agita. I wanted to talk about defense, and if I had time, Ben Simmons. But the key, Ant, to them doing anything in the playoffs, number one, I think they're toast. I've seen Miami play during the in the bubble. I've seen Boston play. I actually watched the whole game the other day without Jimmy Butler. Spoelstra just tells you how much a good coach does.
Yeah.
I don't know if you watched the game, Ant.
Yeah, I did. I saw.
Weren't as athletic as Boston, and I don't know why Brett Brown doesn't do this. The biggest problem, Ant, is they can't keep anybody in front of them. They can't defend the pick and roll. They don't use Embiid because he's always late getting to the shot block, defending the pick and roll. And Spoelstra played primarily almost the whole game. He was in a zone defense.
Yeah.
He threw Boston in a tizzy. And Brett Brown will try it once or twice. They score a bucket. He gets right out of it.
Yeah.
It's like if you want slower foot defenders, if you're going to play Korkmaz, you're going to play these guys that aren't athletic. Even Milton can't stay in front of people. Uh-huh. I tell you, you beat foot speed. You put him in his own defense. And I don't understand why for the life of me that he don't throw this in once in a while and mix it in. Because it throws the other team into a funk for a little bit. And if you watch Thibodeau in college, he's a great defender. He was even better at the top of a zone when they put him in. He got his hands and was blocking shots like left and right. And I just, for the life of me, don't know why Brett don't try this. And he should do it during playoff time.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. You hear my frustration, right? I mean, I thought I sussed out how they're supposed to play early on the whole year. I mean, you listen to the show. We talk about it all the time. I don't understand what he's thinking.
Yeah. It's going to cost him his job, definitely. But the only thing I don't agree with you on, Ant, and I respect your opinion.
Sure, yeah.
Me and you just see Ben Simmons differently. Uh-huh. And I'm going to give you an analogy. Because I've seen enough after all this time with the guys.
You ready to move on?
45 years of watching basketball. If you can't coach a guy by now to shoot the basketball, it's like a Major League Baseball player that can do everything. He can run. He can throw. He can play good D. But if he can't hit, if he can't shoot, if he's refusing to shoot, it's like all that other stuff is diminished. Mm-hmm. It's the major thing you have to do as a basketball player, and I think it just gets glossed over. And I don't think he's ever going to do it, Ant. I really don't. And it's going to be a shame because
Now, again, he took 2 threes yesterday, right?
I don't even care about the threes. I can't tell you how many times, Ant, I watch a game. He's wide open at the foul line. He don't even look at the rim.
Yes.
I would take him out and put him on the bench.
Yes.
Jackie Mullen wrote an article on ESPN last week. I don't know if you read it.
I saw
His
it,
high
yeah.
school coach said that's what Brett Brown should do. You know what Brett Brown did during the summertime? He went down to Australia and he said, you know what? I can take you out of the game if you want. What do you mean I can take you out? Don't say it, do it.
Yeah.
It's going to cost you your job, you moron. I don't get it.
Yeah. No, and I hear you on a couple things, all right?
And Mikey, this is wrong with him saying you can't take him out of the game. You can take him out of the game.
Well,
and if he pouts, whatever, it's going to cost.
Yeah, but I understand where Mikey's coming from because, again, the hard-ass thing doesn't work with these guys. That's where Mikey's coming from, and I agree with that.
Yeah, but look at the soft. The soft approach hasn't worked, Mike. So what other recourse do you have at this time?
I hear you. But let me ask, because I know you've made up your mind on Simmons, and that's fine. And I understand the fundamental issue of shooting the ball. I do. I do.
He doesn't even finish around the rim well. But hold on.
Forget these three games. During the regular season, before the stoppage, he was their best player. Wasn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, he was playing well.
But real quick. And he was attacking the rim.
But even when he attacks the rim, I don't think he finishes well.
I think you got to go back and look at the regular season. I think he finished well. He really did.
I'd like to see a stat on it. I see him throw up so much weak crap.
Forget about, you know, stats. Go back and do all the games on TV. Just hit a couple of them. I'm just saying that he...
And I haven't missed a game since the guy came into the league. I've seen every practice. I've seen every...
I believe me. I know you're a great basketball. I believe that. I know. You don't have to... I'm not questioning what... I believe you. I know you're a guy. We talk. I know you're a great basketball guy. I just think sometimes we have a... And I'm guilty of it because I'm a bigger pig head than you, right? I'm a pig head... I'm pig headed in the worst way with my opinions. And sometimes that clouds are exactly what we see. And he really did finish around the rim. He hasn't done it these three games. But during the regular season, he did. To your point, he's got to shoot a mid-range jump shot. He just got to do it.
Yeah. I mean, you don't even look at the basket, and it's amazing. Like, if you're the coach, how do you let him get away with that? Mm-hmm. I'm looking at a guy 10 feet off of him. His head don't even look at the rim. I call a timeout and say, your ass is sitting down until you learn to take that jumper. It's unbelievable that this is going on for this long.
Yeah, I hear you, brother. I do.
It's going to cost him his job. He, like Mikey Mitz says, you can't do that. You have to do it at this point. I don't care if he pouts. If he pouts and he's going to be a baby like that, then you move on. But you got to get that message across. And yeah. I'm tired of, like, treating this kid with kid gloves. It's over with. This is ridiculous. He's the number one pick in the draft, and the guy refuses to shoot. We can't underestimate that. We got to stop worrying about Neto and Korkmaz. If he doesn't take his game to another level, we're never going to win a championship. And that's
I agree with that. I agree with that wholeheartedly. He needs to be at another level for them to win. Yes, you're 100% right.
A lot of stuff you say about these guys playing, blah, blah, blah. But in the grand scheme of things, Ant, when they came back in this bubble and you saw that he isn't going to take that next step,
he's not playing the right. Joe, I got to run, buddy. Thank you. But here's my issue. He's not playing in the right spot. That's not an alibi or whatever, but he's not playing in the right spot. He's got to have the ball in his hands. I mean, that's the problem. Coming up, I got to ask you about your own personal treasures. Because I unearthed a couple last night.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. And I'm curious what you guys think. All right, you know what we're talking about. A little let's get cup crazy. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. Got some open lines. Jump in now. Cuz Radio. Tunis. 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5, The Fanatic.
What up? Okay.
I hate this wire. It gets caught on my chair all the time. And it pulls out the thing, and I gotta jiggle it so my headphones work.
At least the one ear didn't fall off this time.
You saw that yesterday.
Yes, I did. We did not mention it.
Yeah, you can always mention it. You know me, I don't care.
It's great.
It's, I give up caring a while ago. It's 11:30 or 11 o'clock hours, always brought to you by Golden Nugget Jewelers, where Philly gets engaged. We're going to take some calls, but real quick. Do you have any personal treasures? I was over at my sister's. I've had boxes in her basement forever.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I do.
So when we moved from Robin Street to the apartment, I lost a lot of space, right? So I put a bunch of stuff in my sister's house, in her basement. And she's been after me for 3 years. Come get the, can you get your stuff? And I'm like, yeah.
It sounds like my wife and her mother. It's been years since she's moved out. And it's like every once in a while, she'll get the phone call. Hey, by the way, are you going to ever pick up this stuff?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we'll
and
be
I
there.
I feel bad, right? So I'm like, all right. So I went over last night and I grabbed a bunch of stuff and I found these boxes, right? So it was unbelievable. So first off, I see this one box of all these old newspaper stories that I wrote.
Oh, really? That's cool.
Yeah, like back in the day. And one was, and I was leafing through it. Curtis Conway. You ever hear that name? He was a wide receiver for the Bears.
Oh, really?
And I was in training camp writing about Curtis Conway. I was like, wow. That's bust awesome. Out. Right? And then I saw my book, a couple of books that I wrote. One was NFL Unplugged. So I go, so the kids, they don't know, right? Like my kids, they're 7 and 10. They had no concept of what I did, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So I go, yo, come here, look at this, right? And then they go, well, you wrote that? I go, yeah, that's what Daddy used to do. And they were like, oh, cool. And then I showed them the book, and they were actually impressed by the book.
Yeah, that's cool.
Like, they were like, oh,
you wrote a book, yeah.
You're like, you wrote that? I'm like, yeah, Dad, that's what Daddy does. Oh, that's cool. And then they were done. Like, you know, I had them for like 3 seconds, and then they're
they'll appreciate whatever. It a couple of years.
Yeah, once they're older, they'll appreciate it. But I found a box of cards. Baseball, hockey, football.
Oh, yeah.
I found a giant box of cards. And you know who digs the cards? The Massimo digs
really?
The cards. Yeah. So I go, dude, come here. I said, you want this? And he goes, yeah, he got all pumped up.
That's awesome.
And he said, Daddy, can we go through the cards? I went, yeah. I go, we'll do this weekend. We'll do it. He said, we'll see who's good, who's not, you know, who stinks, who's really good. You know, I was like, yeah. We'll sort them out.
And then you see how much some of them are worth.
And he was, yeah. And then he was so pumped up. But I'm going to go, hey, dude, these are yours. You know, take them. And he was fired up.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And my dad has, I think it's from 1980, a sleeve of every player that was on the opening day roster for every team. So it's 25 men for all 32 teams. And I think he has that for a couple of years.
Really?
And I'm like, wait a couple more years and
that's all right,
start seeing
man.
How some of these are. Some of the, because it's every player. So that means whoever was a rookie in 1980, the rookie card was in there.
Wow.
Yeah, the baseball card is cool.
That is fantastic.
The baseball card is a cool item.
Yeah, yeah. I love it. I love it. I was like so excited. Like, because Mossy was digging it. And I was like, at least I had somebody who dug it, right?
Right.
And I was
right.
Like, wow. So, you know, that's a cool thing. Think about, do you have your father's cards or he still has them?
He still has them, but they're kept safely, you know, whenever the time comes when he wants to, you know.
Hand them over?
Yeah, exactly. So he's kept them safely.
Now, should I keep them? I gave it to him because I don't like, hey, whatever, dude.
No, give them to him.
That's right. I want to give it to him. You know,
he let me look at him whenever I wanted to when I was a kid.
Right.
It's not like he was like, hey, don't touch these.
No, I was like, dude, here you go, man.
Yeah,
take
of course.
You know? And so he was all fired up. I was like, that did me well.
Yeah.
But I always think about that. The in the basement, you find the treasures. So I want to throw that into the conversation if you've done that.
So I moved, obviously, recently. So I had a lot of stuff in my basement. There's a couple things that I found. And I texted you about one of them. My first ever Eagles jersey. The Ricky Waters jersey that is on a Mickey Mouse stuffed animal. For some reason, I wanted, because I outgrew the jersey, obviously, I was like, all right, let me put this on the Mickey. I still have the Mickey. It was in my basement. I still have the Mickey Mouse. And it was one of those things where I was like, I'm going to give this to, you know, to my kid one day, because it was my favorite thing growing up. But I put a Ricky Waters jersey on it, and I would play football. And I was, you know, I was tackling Mickey Mouse wearing a Ricky Waters jersey. But I'm like, it really hit me when we were doing the playbacks.
Yes.
I was like, wait a minute. That's my first ever jersey. Ricky Waters. So that was cool to find. And I have like a...
That's awesome.
A Harlem Globetrotters basketball. I've seen them once, and it was the 80-year anniversary of the Harlem Globetrotters. And it's one of those things where I can't get rid of it.
Really?
I haven't looked at it, but it was what, like, my dad took me. So it was one of those, like, I remember this day.
Do you have a bit of what do you call it, hoarder in you?
Yes. Yeah, my wife hates me for it.
Yeah, I do too.
She hates me for it. Yeah, I have a lot. I have these mini baseball bats from going to different stadiums that I bought.
Oh, I love that.
Like the little wooden bats. Yeah, I have a ton of them. I don't know what to do with them. One's a Camden River Sharks baseball bat.
Dude, do you know what I found? you don't even know this one, but there's guys that are my age know it. Yeah. So years and years ago, I found these helmets, these football helmets. I went nuts. These football helmets of when I was a kid, there used to be a place called Geno's. And it was like a fast food. I think it was the precursor to KFC or whatever it was. But Geno's, right? The chicken, the whole thing. And there was a Geno's on Moymensing Avenue, right where the bus station is now. There was a Geno's there. And my grandmother used to go get, you know, every once in a while, they had these helmets.
Well, like in the kids' meal, you got the toy?
No, you got it with it. But the helmet was the size, it was like this big.
Oh, really? So it wasn't a mini thing?
No, it wasn't a little tiny one. It was a plastic helmet with stickers. And you could put the logo on the side of the helmet. It was awesome, right? And my cousin, she would get me and my cousin. And there was a cardboard stanchion that you put the helmets on, and it was all the teams.
Yeah, like a collectible.
Right.
Yeah.
And I found these helmets.
That's awesome.
I was like, wow, that's unbelievable. I was excited. I was like, look at this. But I'm hoping Mossy will like it. I love that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Right? But I'm hoping, my only hope is my auntie doesn't care. If it's not walking on four legs because he's a dinosaur, you know, animal man. Scientist, and gotta love him, but he doesn't care about I found these pennants. I used to go, you remember, I traveled extensively, and I was in a million games, and I used to take little tchotchkes with me. You know, I got a Packeroni from the Niners and Packers NFC Championship game in 1995.
That's awesome.
I got like all these goofy things. In Ohio State, I did an Ohio State Michigan game, and there's this thing you throw against the wall and it does the Ohio State.
Oh, really?
You know, fight song. Whatever. But it was just stupid things that they would give out to the media or whatever. And I found all this stuff in my sister's basement.
Yeah, I still have a rally towel from one of the Phillies playoff games. I forget.
Yeah,
and I wrote down the score and like the date, and it was in my basement, yeah. And I couldn't get rid of it. I was like, I gotta hold on to this thing.
Yeah,
I never know when I might need this.
Yeah, it's the best. It's the best. If you have uncovered stuff, make sure you tell us. All right. Couple open lines, 610-632-0975 is how you join us. Let's go to Frankie. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Frankie?
What's up, A Squad?
What's up, Frankie? Frank?
Listen, I got some news for you. So, Baby Blues Fish's dad was involved with Gino Marchetti and Al Amici.
Yes, I do know that. You're right.
I went to school with Al Amici's son. I'm going off sidebar here, though. But when Al Amici passed away, and he was young, at his funeral, Art, there's a circle with two kegs of beer. Art Donovan's sitting on one keg. I'm standing there. I got Johnny Yu on one side, Lenny Moore, Gino Marchetti. I was in my early 20s, and my mouth agape.
Wow.
Yeah. Huh? How about that?
Frankie, did you keep any stuff from your childhood?
I found a bunch of Playboys I stole from Overbrook Pharmacy. But
That's great.
You know what? I would have loved to have found baseball cards. But no, honestly, no. But, you know, I don't know what chapped my ass more, guys, watching that listless defensive Sixers against, you know, the Little Sisters of the Poor, or watching that Baxter bullpen almost give up that lead. I mean, my God, it's aggravating.
It is the Baxter bullpen.
Where did Matty, that bottom-feeding flounder, you know, where did he find this pen? Man.
I agree, bro.
Like, you know, a police lineup? I mean, where did he pick them from?
Yes.
And here's why I called, what rankles me. This Ben wants no part of this four. No part. You could see in his face. You know, he popped out of his mother's womb as a facilitator. He's totally out of position. And it's as bad as Brett messing with him is as bad as Gabe Delicious messing with Hoskins, you know? Here's your launch angle right here, and you're four. Get the hell out of here.
I know.
I know. Why? We're a good fan base. Why do we have to put up with this unprofessionalism?
You know, again, it's not unprofessionalism, right? It's just the wrong move.
But
to your point is, it's just the wrong move. It's the wrong move. And you can see it. It's like, you know what? It's like you're watching someone from afar, right? You're watching someone from afar, and they're walking across the street, and you see the car coming, right? But you can't yell, stop.
Right. That's a good analogy. Look at you.
I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's. We don't deserve. I'm professional. We don't deserve it, man. It is just shame. It's a damn shame is what it is. And
I know.
Just, all right. I
hear you, brother. All right, take your pill. All right, we love you, Frankie. Take it easy, buddy. No, but that's what it is, right? You say, this is a bad move. Bad move. Don't do it. You did it. Let's go to DJ. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. DJ!
Hey.
What's up, DJ?
I spoke with you guys before. Remember I called before the season started again? I was saying that I had no confidence in Brett Brown.
Yeah, you're right.
Now, I believe everybody was optimistic about the change of the lineup. But I just think with this guy, it doesn't matter how much you shuffle the deck. His offense just stinks.
Well, again, but he hasn't played the style, right? Like, I thought he would play he's the one who talked about playing bully ball, but he's never played it.
I was all for that bully ball.
Yeah, well, that was the first game of the season. They haven't seen it since.
Yeah, right. And now the fact that Horford used to kill us when he was with Boston, and now everybody thinks he's a bad player. It's just like Embiid when he kills me when he's at the top of the key shooting that three pointer. And I believe Horford should be in that position because I think he can make that set shot in his sleep.
Yeah, listen, I feel you, and I don't mind, you know, Embiid shoots once in a while, but to your point, Embiid is a beast, right?
Let, he had 41-21 the
right,
first game.
Let Godzilla loose. And it's Godzilla like, should be shooting a ton of threes. And again, once in a while, you shoot the three, it's fine. But Godzilla right. needs to work in where Godzilla works, and that's down below.
And what was it, the last game he came across the half court and just pulled up like he was Steph Curry?
Yeah.
And one last point I want to make. Remember that road record?
Yes.
And from now on, here on out, it's like they're all playing road games.
Or you could have used it. I hear you. I mean, whether it's road or whether it's home, there's no fans. I was curious how it would manifest itself. Like, no fans should be good for Simmons, right?
Yeah, but he should be at least shooting at the foul line, at least taking at least five shots a game, just to build his confidence.
Yes, I agree. I'm with you wholeheartedly, my friend.
It's just killing me just watching this team because I believe they have some great players. And you know what I think is going to happen? Once he's gone, I believe another coach can come in here and win a championship with him.
Well, you do have, core talent. Again, I agree with you. I still don't want to. Maybe I'm stubborn and I said I'm pig-headed. But I don't want to give up on Simmons and Embiid together. I still think they can play together.
Oh, no. I think so, too. And I think a different coach can bring all of that out. Just like when the Last Dance, I had a newfound respect for Phil Jackson, the way he handled each individual player.
Yeah. Now,
so,
you're right on, brother.
You let Dennis Rodman leave in the middle of a playoff run, and he comes back and gives you 100%. He recognized in his players, individually, what they all needed.
Yep.
This team has no discipline. One game they play good, next game is like, who are they? The worst team in the league.
I know.
One game they could be the best, another game they could be the worst.
I feel you, brother. I feel you. I feel your frustration. It's good that you called back, DJ. Call back during the play. Don't be a stranger, all right?
Oh, no. I'll call back. Like I said, I want them to win. But,
I know you do. Listen, we all do. And thank you, brother. We want them to win. We love them. This is not, again, the happy criticizer, right? We love them. We want them to win. That goes without saying. But this is just, they've played three direct teams, and they've looked horrible in each game.
Yeah, you haven't been inspired at all. Obviously, you didn't get inspired after the first game where they lost against the Pacers when they were missing players, like good players. And then the Spurs game, I mean, it came down to a game-winning shot. You don't want that. And yesterday, it took three quarters to really pull away. It was the fourth quarter when he finally pulled away. And it was, again, because of one man.
And again,
Joel Embiid.
You're playing Hachimura.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, really?
Who's scoring at will? Ish Smith was getting to the cup. No problem yesterday.
Look at that squad. Look at this team that they played yesterday. Like, this is embarrassing. I mean, quite frankly, Brett should be embarrassed by that performance yesterday. I'm sorry. Look at this team, this Washington team, right?
Was Bradley Beal there?
No.
Was Davis Bertans there?
No.
Oh, really?
No. Here's your squad. You ready? You got Hachimura. You got Troy Brown Jr., who
looked like a stud yesterday.
Right?
Looked like Devin Booker yesterday.
Right? You got Bonga. Right? Isaiah Bonga, whatever his name is. Right? You got the kid Brian, who's actually decent. The big Thomas Bryant's pretty good. And you got Ish. Come on, Ish. You deal with Ish. And that's your starters. That's kind of not counting Moritz Wagner and Shabazz Napier. And I never even heard of the kid Robinson who scored 19 points yesterday.
Yeah, that's just wrong.
Jerome Robinson, the kid from Boston College. I remember him college. That's it.
How long has Napier been in the league now?
Forever.
I feel like he's been here forever.
They actually had Pesetniks. I always mispronounce
Ajay's Pesetniks.
Right?
That's my guy.
Are you kidding me? He played 8 minutes, had 2 rebounds and 4 fouls, and no shots. Like, that's the kind of hot trash that they played. Are you gonna be kidding me that you don't beat that team by 30? I don't care if you got Ben playing the 7. Come on.
You gotta beat that.
You beat that trash team by 30? And yet you were behind in the third quarter. I would lose my freaking mind. All right. I need the air conditioner turned up. Just thinking about it, it drives me insane. Is there a happy place we can go to?
4 o'clock today.
Yeah, that's right. TGFF. All right, turn up the air. To do that, you got to go to my guy, Brian, and his company, Service First Heating and Air Conditioning. But we're all at home. We're going to be spending more time on this winter. So for the rest of the summer, make sure you're cool. And for the winter coming, make sure you're warm. Service First can help all of that. He'll come to your house, Brian, one of his great techs. They'll give you the good, better, and best estimate. You can pick the one that's best for your budget. They're going to offer you 0% financing for 72 months on qualifying system. That's right. Service First also offers, and this is important for my house, the air purification solutions. Like air scrubbers, UV lights, media filters. You feel weird about letting someone in your home? I get it. Service First techs, respectful, safety conscious. They follow CDC distancing guidelines. They take every precaution to keep your home safe and clean for fast, friendly service throughout Bucks and Montgomery counties. From a trained comfort specialist, Mitsubishi Diamond preferred dealer, visit ServiceFirstHVAC.com. That's ServiceFirstHVAC.com. And just tell Brian, say, oh, cuz was asking for you.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.